When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Real Life Real Crime is a true crime podcast brought to you by Woody Overton and executive producer Toby Tompley.
Yeah, the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. Right to an attorney prior to and during any questioning. You can't afford one, the court will point one for you. You understand your rights?
Your crime spree was over, son. Yeah, you thought you had it licked. But Detective Overton made you sure to turn to shit.
This episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast, may contain descriptions of acts of violence or that are of a sexual nature. It should be for people that are 18 years or older. Heed my warning, people. I do not get the facts of these cases off the internet or from some television show. The facts we're retelling you were presented to us by the victims of the crimes, or the perpetrators who committed the crimes against the victims. My description of the crime scenes are what I saw with my own two eyes. If you're gonna get offended, please turn this podcast off now. Thank you. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. And as always, I'm your host, Woody Overton. And y'all recording remotely today, so I apologize ahead of time if there's any audio issues. I'm sure Toby Tompley will do his best to correct it. Real quick, I need to give a shout out to Leanne Romash. I'm gonna spell it R-O-M-A-S-H-Y-N-A and her family for the unselfish volunteer work they do for the community. Thank you. You are so appreciated. Today, we're going to be concluding, I guess it turned into a series, Pad Tracks. And what I'm going to do, y'all, evidence is everything. And I'm going to tell you why I started to do this series and how I found out about Pad Tracks. And then we're going to talk about what Pad Tracks is. It's huge. And we're going to talk about how it's beneficial and how basically I believe everybody in the world should be using this, and there's no reason, cost-wise or other, that they shouldn't be using it, okay? So, that being said, this is also going to conclude Season 6 with the third episode of Pad Tracks. I'm going to tell you how I first came to hear about Pad Tracks, and then we'll get into what it is. I was sitting at Duke's Restaurant in Denham Springs, Louisiana. And if y'all ever go there, this is simply the best. We love their food and we love their service, and the beer is certainly cold, sometimes too cold. But if you ever go there, and you just look to the left in the bar, that last big table, if I'm not sitting there, then I'm not there. But I was sitting there and I was talking to this young lady named Jessie. We were talking, there was a bunch of us actually at the table talking. They were talking about Courtney Coco's case in the search warrant return. that Cedric Green, if y'all remember, Cedric Green told Detective Rabelais they got nothing off the search warrant. Well, that was a lie. And because I found the search warrant return. Anytime you do a search warrant in the state of Louisiana and you see something, you have to do a return to the court of what it is you seize. Well, I found out that they did take numerous items, but then the question is, where the hell are the items, right? And then I can't get into that for, I don't want to do anything, mess up the Courtney's process, the murderer's prosecution, so we'll leave it at that. But then I was talking, and the lady Jessie said, I work for a company that deals exclusively, or they're developing stuff that deals exclusively with evidence. Would you be interested in coming talking to my boss, the head guy? And I was like, sure, it's local. And right here in the heart of LP in Denham Springs, Louisiana. So that's where we're at today. I'm at Pad Tracks and CNA. The CNA is am I saying that correctly? CNA is the parent company of Pad Tracks. And so I came and I met a guy named Matt Moss, and we've gotten together numerous times since. And I really started when he showed me what it is that they do, and I'm gonna get him to explain the stuff to y'all. It blew my mind. Okay, you as true crime fans, and certainly all my law enforcement buddies from around the globe that are listening, et cetera, wait until you hear this. I didn't know about it, but I wish the hell we'd have had it back in the day. But Livingston Parish Sheriff's Office has it now, but we're going to get into that. So I came and met Matt Moss, and what is your title, Matt?
Or what? President.
President of Pad Tracks?
CNA Associates.
Okay, so he's the top dog with both companies, then, I guess, y'all. So I came and met Matt, and he did like a presentation of the stuff on the evidence, and I was like, man, this is just stellar. So what we're going to do is get into that, but Matt and I would go and have a beer, and we talked about different things, and this has been going on for several months now. When I started Pad Tracks, the series, I didn't know how long it was going to go, but I want to give y'all a story, and that's one of many that I worked, the first one I did, about the department that had the malfeasance and evidence going missing by somebody slicing open the evidence in envelopes and stealing the narcotics. Now, then I morphed that into the second week and showed you another problem on evidence where it's a rape deal and they're asking to go in, they can't find evidence, right? And so that's a huge problem. And in my mind, your two main problems with evidence are going to be both, and you might have something, Matt, that I'm not thinking about, but it's human error, whether it's by malfeasance in office, by being dirty, or hell, it's just the human error part, y'all. The evidence is everything that you do, every criminal case that you work, you take evidence in. And whether it's a report or physical evidence or whatever, and it all has to go somewhere. Right now, natural reports go to records, but all the physical evidence you seize has to get processed in, and it takes more time than working the cases do, but it did in my day. I'd have to seize the evidence and fill out all these forms, and then take it in, and somebody establish a chain of custody, take things up, do the whole nine yards, enter it. It was nighttime. We had an old mailbox that you dropped it into, and which was secure, and whomever came down, they Livingston Parish Sheriff's Office back then didn't have a full-time evidence officer, and they would take it and process it. And I told y'all about the process of taking it to the lab on Wednesdays. They didn't have a set person to take it to the lab, but we had an appointment, I think at 10 o'clock in the morning, at State Police Crime Lab on Wednesdays. And you'd bring all this evidence over, whether it was dope or guns to be tested or DNA, whatever, and have to establish a chain of custody with the State Police Crime Lab and turn it over. Well, you're handling all this stuff. We're all human. There are certainly going to be mistakes that are made, and guess what? You cannot afford to make mistakes in these cases. Even if it's just a narcotics case, if it's, let's say it's a heroin dealer, okay? and the mistake gets made and the person gets to go free because of it, and they sell some hot dope to somebody later on and they overdose on it. So there's no such thing as a small evidence case, right? Or of course, you know, DNA and homicides and rape cases and all that. So there's, to me, in my mind's eye, if you can avoid or minimize the chances of the human error by the sheer volume of material that these people handle, or take away, because a lot keeps an honest man honest, you take away the initiative or the want to of the somebody stealing narcotics or cash money or whatever it is from the evidence room. So that being said, I'm going to introduce y'all to Mr. Matt Moss, president of CNA, mm-hmm. and PadTrax. And Matt, tell us, y'all know we're all unscripted, just tell us about PadTrax, how I got started. I like how the idea, you tell about CNA and then the PadTrax or whatever you want.
Okay, all right. Well, thanks for having me.
This is my first podcast.
Thank you for doing this. I apologize early. So CNA got started in the late 80s as a financial company. It's a family-owned company. My mother and father, they started with writing software to cash checks at banks. It's now called Check 21. Bill, my father, had a hand in that. And from there, we've gotten into not only the software back end at financial institutions, and when I say financial institutions, I mean banks, credit unions, universities, anybody that takes a check. And now we sub out the construction of a facility, but when you walk into a financial institution, from bulletproof glass to countertops to ATMs to vacuum tubes, all that, we sell it, install it, and maintain it. We're large here in the Gulf South for that, and we have a lot of knowledge just from the banking background, the financial background. So in 2001, 2002-ish, we were at a banking convention. We got a booth. We're telling potential and current customers what we got, what's new. And guy next to us is selling this software solution and hardware solution known as RFID, Radio Frequency Identification. Okay. So for that, in layman's terms, if you've ever been through a tollway, and you know we have one in Louisiana being a causeway, but being from Louisiana, you go out of state, you hit a tollway. Well, you're like me. I'm in the right-hand lane. I'm paying my 50 cents, and I'm rolling through, stuck in traffic. Right. Well, to speed up the process and make it an unmanned station, they have little toll tags. Put them on their windshield, and as they go under the toll, there's an RFID reader, and it's just shooting out a radio wave. And as you pass through at 60, 50, you know, probably like you, 90 miles an hour, it shoots back and says, oh, there's Woody Overton. He came through here at 12:33, charge him as 50 cents, or if you pay annually, whatever. Well, this gentleman next to us was going to track loan documents. At that point in time, there was the big push for financial institutions to keep up with the original loan document. If you went in for a loan, and if you'll remember back in the day, everybody said, oh, you got to sign in blue ink now because you can't photocopy it. It needs to be in color. So we said, oh, great idea. You know, we always want to grow. We want to expand, offer new things to our customers. So we said, yeah, great idea. Let's do it. So that year, probably 8-9 months later, we're at our company, Crawfish Boil, like every good Louisiana company has. And our owner, Bill, is sitting next to his second cousin, who happens to be Pat Canulet. He was a four-term sheriff in St. Tammany. And he's telling about this new thing with RFID. And so Uncle Pat just looks over and goes, well, why can't you track evidence? And Bill said, we'll be tracking evidence in 2 years.
Wow.
And that's where it all got started.
Wow.
So Sheriff Canulet kind of opened his doors. I got to know his evidence people. They kind of gave me the rundown. And just sitting there watching the amount of work they had to do, you know, if you're like me, I basically have three things on me at all times. I got my keys, I got my wallet, and I got my cell phone.
Right.
I lose one of those three at least twice a week.
Right.
So three things I can't keep up with sometimes. But in, let's say, a small agency, a small law enforcement agency, they'll have a minimum, let's say, 1,000 items.
Right.
It's almost laughable to think one person can keep up with this amount of stuff for the life of it.
Right.
It's just tough.
And it's not just sitting there.
No.
It's going, coming and going, whether it's a quarter to the lab or to whatever, right?
Absolutely. And as naive as we thought we were, we thought we'd have something ready to go in a year and a half. We have some very smart people with us. And long story short, 5 years later, we finally decided we're ready to put this in somewhere.
Yeah.
And a shout out to the Baker Police Department here local in Baton Rouge, Mike Knapps and Randall Dunaway for giving us our first shot. And they really worked with us. And, if anybody has had a product that really works at your office or at your house, you know that first time you put it in at a customer, it's not going to work right.
Right.
Different
right.
environment, different things, yeah.
Trial and error, right?
And again, if it wasn't for Snapper and Dunaway, they really worked with us. And we were there probably twice a week, what's going on, finding it. And we rewrote it. And, I guess we finally said that was installed and live in 2000.
Tell me what it is, and I'm going to interrupt you loud. I'm just bad about that. Tell me what it is actually that you install, and what this, or I'm sure you're going to get that to that, or the system.
Yeah, so at today's, after probably 50 different updates and stuff, because we're constantly listening.
Right, yeah.
So you're
always trying to improve. Right?
Yeah. So it's really twofold. It's hardware and software. The software for Patrax is written all in-house by our developers, and a lot is from our customers. Hey, it'd be cool if it did this. You're absolutely right. And what it is we interface with hardware that's either emitting a radio wave or reflecting one back. And through that, we have algorithms in the software that can triangulate and tell whether a piece of evidence is literally in the evidence vault and it stays there, or if it's walking out, and why is it walking out? And we'll get into some of the things, as you mentioned. But with that, we have cut down the workload of someone having to, one, how long does it take you to put in a piece of evidence or anything that's on pen and paper?
Yeah, it takes forever. Especially if you have lab submittals and everything else to go with it.
You got to rewrite it. Somebody's already written it.
Yeah, right.
To the point where now we can run a 100,000 piece inventory in before lunch.
Yeah, well, I could tell you back in the day, the evidence storage was the old jail in the top of the courthouse, and the stairwell was, because we're so limited on space, was in my little private office. And I could tell you, being up there in July, looking in, every cell is full from the bottom to the top of boxes and bags and shit, as far as you could see. In spending 3 days, numerous detectives spending 3 days looking for one piece of evidence. And how much money did they waste? I mean, we could have been working other cases, but this was important.
Oh, absolutely.
It was the shot piece at the time. You had to have it, right? And I'm sorry. I mean, I'm just giving them an idea, not only the cells, but the cell block hallway. And there wasn't, you couldn't walk.
Mm-mm.
And then none of it's categorized.
Right.
They just take it in and get up there and throw it up there.
Yeah. Evidence in general is a different breed of animal. It's a lot of times you have these huge infrastructures that law enforcement uses to, from 911 to reports and, to the DA, to the court system, all these things. And evidence is just left behind.
Right.
People just assume it's this big storage unit sitting off in the back corner. And, it's just evidence. Just put it in the box, right?
Yeah. What I tried to do in the first two episodes is put each piece of evidence is somebody's story.
100%
correct. It is somebody's life. And good, bad, or indifferent, whatever it may be, it is vital.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it wouldn't have been collected. You may not know it's vital yet.
Right.
You may not come back to it's a cold case and turns out to be a serial killer,
mm-hmm.
right? And the CODIS or whatever, years later. But if I'm taking evidence from a scene, it's because I think at some point, some time, this may be valid.
Mm-hmm.
So,
evidence is in there to protect someone.
Right.
Whether it be because you're trying to catch the bad guy or because it just needs to be off the streets.
Right.
However, the secondary piece with evidence, and we've talked about this, is a lot of times the people that are in charge of taking evidence is because, and you touched on this in the first episode, they're in there because, you know, they're on desk duty because of some reason, or they're there to retire.
We call that ROD, retired on duty. Some of y'all, not saying it, everyone, but it's generally, I hate to say that's a place where, you know, people go, their careers go to die or whatever, but then because it's not, and there's 95% of them are dedicated or what have you, but you're right. Mm-hmm. Some of them are there, and that's their last days, and they don't give a flip.
Yeah, and it's not just evidence. You know, they go to other places to do the same thing. You know, they're just there to get the retirement out.
Right.
And it's really bad. And so what we wanted to do was be able to provide a solution that not only somebody that is hired to do this job and does it well and is there for a purpose and understands the importance of it, but somebody that comes in that says, you know, why am I here? Mm-hmm. You know, we wanted to give them something that was, one, we like to say cop friendly, easy to use.
Right.
And number two, you know, there's no training aspect. You know, what do you want to do? Just follow 1, 2, 3. Right. It's done for you.
Right.
And to the point where, just as we said, you know, a lot of things just get misplaced. You have a bad day. You meant to put this piece of evidence in box 1, 2, 3.
Or you're getting ready to do it and something else happened. The sheriff called and whatever. And then somebody else called. And then maybe your kid got sick or something and he left.
Great point. Right. You know, a lot of evidence people that I know are part of the CSI team.
Right.
So when the major crime happens, they got to leave and go take pictures.
Right. You're absolutely correct.
Yeah. And, you know, what are the odds you're going to take that and for your show or whatnot, but you're going to take that little bag of dope and go put it in there when it's already in the vault? It's secure. I'll just do when I get back, because we got a murder that just happened.
Hey, look, I can tell you the I can remember going from scene to scene, and be honest with you, I would tag a bag of evidence, so I throw it in my trunk, and it might be 2 weeks before I get it in, because I know this guy is dead from a suicide and whatever it may be. I mean, life happens, right? Mm-hmm. And the job happens.
Well, and that brings up a perfect point, is we took our knowledge of banking being, you know, everything in financials is a debit or a credit. So we took our system and built it to have these checks and balances, these debits and credits, that says your chain of custody is up to date. It's correct. There are no issues. To the point where, you know, we give the deputies, the officers that are on the streets, the ability to key in that evidence right there in their car, so that if you get called out and you forget, it's not going to be stuck in your trunk for a week. Because what if it's, you know, DNA or something that needs to go into the refrigerator?
And again,
it's a human error.
Right.
You just forget.
I
forget where I put my cell phone today.
Right.
It happens. And unfortunately, you can't ring up the evidence bag and find it.
Okay. So real quick, and I'm in the field. I take a piece of evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And tell me what happens.
So
now I'm probably throwing.
Shout out to AstroPro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
My allergies are throwing my whole morning off. Do I sound different to you?
I love it. You sound like, it's that time of year there, bro.
I sound different to me. I feel like I'm in a submarine.
Yeah, well, have you tried AstroPro? It's faster, bro.
Oh.
Right? AstroPro is the first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It is the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. AstroPro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. AstroPro delivers full prescription strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. Hey, I use this. And you should too, Jim. Last weekend, I planted my garden, and it's that time of the year, and my allergies really kicked up with it, right? I use AstroPro every time my nasal allergies flare up, and I'm always amazed at how fast I'm back in the game, down on those rows, planting my stuff.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with AstroPro. Go to AstroProAllergy.com for a discount so you can AstroPro and go today. AstroProAllergy.com. It's faster, bro. Uses directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
AstroPro and go.
Do you guys know what May 12th is? Sunday, May 12th?
Mama's Day.
That would be correct. It's Mother's Day. So let me ask you, do you basically get your mom the same gift every year for Mother's Day? Maybe some flowers, some chocolates, maybe a robe or a framed photo, boring stuff, right?
Right.
Well, let me tell you about something that's totally cool and different from Mother's Day that will never wilt, spoil, or put an extra 10 pounds around her waist. I'm talking about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty unique. Cool, right?
Right.
Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. Your mom can either type a response to the email, or she can record her voice if she prefers to do that, or she can do both. Cool. And MyLifeInABook.com then compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book, as well as an audiobook. And if you want, and she's up to the task technically, you know, the audiobook is a great extra thing to be able to do. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and your future generations can treasure. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is kind of your chance to give her a way to share them. Every family's a little bit different, and in my family, we love to give each other a really hard time. So I've taken the approach in doing this of asking my mom to comment on some of those family moments that might be a bit embarrassing to other family members. Last week, my question was, Mom, did you feel guilty that day you hit me over the head with your wooden clog and Dad had to take me to the hospital for 8 stitches? Mom's response, back in the day, I was the disciplinarian of the house. And when you were 8 years old, you refused to get out of Nancy's, that's my sister's, plastic kiddie pool. I told you 10 times to get out of the damn pool. You didn't listen, so I chased you around the yard. And when you slipped, I nailed you right on the head. That was the last time you got in that kiddie pool. Of course, Dad had to lie to the ER and tell him that that you fell on your head, but I nailed you good. The entire process with My Life in a Book is simple, and in the end, Mom will have a great keepsake that can remain in your family for generations.
Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC for 10% off today.
Yeah, but I just...
So I'm just doing my best not to look at the iPad because it throws me off every time.
Oh, don't worry.
I know.
Yeah, he's talking about doing a live Patreon recording for Patreon members to put up on the Patreon page.
I got the looks from radio. So what was your question?
I'm an officer in the field, and I take first of all, again, y'all, law enforcement officials and district attorneys, by law, have a responsibility to maintain evidence once they take it into their custody, to maintain it and not screw it up, to put it in layman's terms, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm on scene, I'm taking in evidence. What is the process?
All right. So first thing is your people are gonna inspect it and what a lot of people call bag and tag.
Right, right.
We're gonna throw it in the bag. We're either gonna write on that bag or we're gonna type it into wherever, whatever database we have, and it's going to print us out a tag. So what we did is we gave the ability to, one, go directly into our system, if that's the way. And again, we don't hold anybody's feet to the fire. You operate the way you want. We're going to make it work as best we can. So one, they can go directly into ours, and we call it manual entry. The officer deputy is going to manually enter, you know, time, date, case number, description, whatever. So again, at that point, they can go directly into our system, or we write what's called an interface, and we go directly into the RMS. So your officers, deputies don't have to change anything they do today by using our product. They type it into the RMS. When they hit Records Management System, or CAD, right, which is right, your 911 right, dispatch and RMS combined.
CAD.
So either way, first thing they're going to do is bag and tag and manually enter somewhere. Mm-hmm. And from there, what we want to do is get that into a temporary holding. And so obviously the trunk of a car sitting on a desk is not temporary holding. You know, that needs to be turned over securely.
Right, right. So when they type it in, it shows that they take it in, that they're establishing chain of custody.
They're establishing a have possession of something.
Right, 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 right.
And what that is doing is it's going to alert the evidence officer, hey, you should have X amount of things, 10 things coming in today.
Right, from Joe Blow.
Right, right. You know, and from there, if as the evidence officer, I go to my temporary storage where you should have put it, go into my locker, mailbox, bin, whatever it is, and everybody's different, you know, by size and category of the law enforcement agency, they pull it out. Well, if I only got 9, I can now immediately know, you know, Woody took this piece of evidence. Let me call him and see what's going on. And I call, hey, Woody, what's up? And you can go, hey, I got another active crime scene. I'm going to be there tonight. All right, cool. Just don't forget about it.
Because, that actually happened to me before. I had something that slid off the seat, and one of the bags went under the seat, mm-hmm. right? And then that was almost a real mess up. You just reminded me of that story. Right?
And that's the thing. There's your checks and balances. There's your debits and credits. Right. The credit is you putting it in, going, I've got this.
Right.
Well, the debit is making sure the evidence officer gets it.
Right.
Because you want to transfer it out of your name.
Right.
Right? Right, but it also needs to be secure. Right. And that's the thing. We want to make chain of custody the debit credit solution. Right. You got it. Now you need to give it to me.
And popping in my head, this is so important because the first thing a defense attorney is going to do is challenge the evidence.
Absolutely.
Right? You don't have the evidence, and 90% of the crimes, they're going to walk.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
So. And from there, what we have our evidence officers do is they wave it over what we call the black box. It's a RFID near field reader, just like access control with cards.
Kind of like a Walmart, when you scan an item in a Walmart.
100% correct. Right. But instead of a barcode, it's an RFID tag. And from there, it just says, yep, I now have it. Woody doesn't have it, and it's at my desk.
Right.
So now we're showing that chain of custody simply by you printing a tag,
right.
and that evidence officer scanning it over the USB-driven device.
Right. So I'm bad about it, this whole. So number one, mm-hmm. the number one benefit is we can eliminate the human error part of because I had the big extended cab covered up truck, and I can remember having to run to another scene, and I had to slam my brakes, and I had the bags fall off, and I went in. But we can eliminate, if I don't turn in the 10th piece of evidence,
mm-hmm.
they're going to know automatically because it's in the system
exactly
how many is supposed to come mm-hmm. in. So that eliminates human error right there. Also, it eliminates the malfeasance part of the initial collection on, well, I guess they could always say they didn't collect whatever. But
yeah, if they don't enter it, you right. know, there's
or
no
way to stop your partner, the rookie training from coming in the truck and grabbing it out when you're mm-hmm. not looking.
Yep.
So, okay.
Yep. But from there, we're literally establishing those chain of custody events. It went from Woody. It's now with Matt, the evidence officer. It's now in the sheriff's department simply by printing tags. And that's that credit and debit. So now we're not taking this time where not only do you have to bag and tag it and write it up, but now you got to sign a book that says here's chain of custody. Right. Then I've literally got to see you do it and
Absolutely.
Grab it from you.
Absolutely.
Well, we're eliminating 7-8 minutes in the process.
Right.
Boom, right there.
Right. But I go back to the Wednesday appointments. A couple times I had to take this big bins of evidence down there that I had to sign for each piece of the thing
mm-hmm.
on the sheet. And the shit, it took from the time you get there at 8:00 in the morning to 9-something mm-hmm. To get it done.
No, if you're
working
lucky.
With the lady, right? Yeah. And then this eliminates that.
Especially if you walk in and somebody else is already doing it.
Yeah, right. All right.
Yep. So from there, we want to just establish that evidence actually makes it into the secure facility.
Right.
And that's where, if you would, the magic happens. We put up what we call enterprise readers throughout the department, and it's just like a tollway. We can literally watch these pieces of evidence flow from the evidence officer's desk that not only are we walking down the hallway, but it entered the evidence vault. It's time and date stamped.
Wow.
And then whenever they walk out, we do a full audit of the room, and it says, yep, they're still here.
Wow. So when you say you mean the system does.
Correct.
Right, right. I mean, the money alone and the man hours just in those first few steps is huge.
100% correct.
And eliminating the human error by hook or crook.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. So at that point, as you know, it's constantly flowing.
Right.
And what we do is we monitor, again, what's going in and out to where if something walks out and the evidence officer or whomever doesn't go through that transfer,
right.
within 15 seconds, we alert the evidence department and say, hey, this item just walked out and nobody said it was supposed to.
Wow.
So now, you know, and it happens. It's human error. You
right.
walk in, you need to get 100 things to go to the lab.
Right.
99 of them are correct and one's just the wrong one.
Right.
It just happened to be the wrong one.
Because human error, I mean, they could just throw the wrong thing in the box.
Right.
Right.
So if without Patrax, what happens? You
right.
walk out, you yeah. go to the lab,
right.
you get to the lab, and they go, this is the wrong item.
That's exactly right.
Or the lab doesn't catch it, and it stays at the lab.
Right.
So now we've got untransferred evidence, leaving the premises, right. going with somebody,
right.
you're opening a can of worms.
The case is over with when the defense attorney finds out about it, and somebody's mm-hmm. life is getting messed up.
Yeah.
And it could be the bad guy's life not getting messed up because they're going to walk,
yeah.
or the victim not getting justice, right?
So let's say best case scenario, that happens. You go to the crime lab. You've already said it takes about an hour.
Right.
So that evidence is out for 3 hours,
right.
let's say. You know, Livingston to
right,
Baton Rouge
right,
Independence. Right. So, okay, great, 3 hours. But that's 3 hours unaccounted for.
Yeah, it's over with. So you have a fiduciary, you have a legal responsibility
ethical.
To protect mm-hmm. that evidence,
yep.
period. And the DAs and the law enforcement representatives. So 3 hours without, you're done.
Mm-hmm. Well, so worst case scenario, you drop it there and it stays for 3 months.
Right.
But what if we could correct that within 15 seconds? Boom, you just got an email and a text to your phone and it says, hey, Woody, you're walking out with something that's wrong.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Corrected.
And that's, this is.
Well, not only is it corrected, but it's documented. You pull the report and it'll say, hey, we saw Woody walk out. And when you turn it back in, you got to give a reason. I grabbed the wrong bag. It was, you know, a mistake. Right, Woody Overton's right, taking responsibility.
And that's understandable. Yeah. I mean, it's just like working a murder scene and people that come in, whether it's Acadian or whatever, and we end up pulling DNA samples from them later on just in case their stuff mm-hmm. is in there. So it's overkill. It's correct. And again, I'm coming from the criminal side, I wish we'd had this back in the day because I can't tell you how many times evidence is that they're attacking that first. The chain
sure.
of custody. Chain of custody, evidence is everything.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, look, there is no overall standard and procedure. There are a few different places, like CALEA is a big one in the United States. And, there, you know, you should do an audit every year. You should do this. You should do that. But what if you don't? And what if you don't follow it?
Let me tell you about that, Matt. Every policy and procedure that's ever been written is because somebody screwed somebody.
Sure.
They only mm-hmm. got put in place because they got busted for whatever.
And it's always going to be more stuff.
Right. And so, and I'm skipping around again. I am taking evidence in, entering in evidence. Knows it's supposed to be coming, the mm-hmm. time saved, it gets there, we know the chain of custody is reestablished, you can show where it goes down a hallway, what room it's put in, or whatever.
And by who?
And by whom. Then that is just priceless from taking the defense attorney's ball game away mm-hmm. from them. But, so it's stored, so you, anytime it leaves, like to go to the crime lab, the system tracks it all.
Yeah, tracks
I'll tell you what, once you put this RFID on it, mm-hmm. then you know where it's at, period.
Yes.
Forever.
Yeah, absolutely. So, one, we can tell you it's in, out. If it ever walks out, we always have to have a signature, photo, attachment, right. whatever you want.
But even though it walks out, somebody signs for mm-hmm. it, then it's still being tracked.
As long as it's in the premises, wherever right, we have right, a reader, right, we right, can see it. You
right.
know, it's not a GPS unit
right,
by
okay,
any means.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to be able to
right.
see it go down the
but
hall.
But you know who walked out with it. Right.
100%. And even to the point where if it was going to the crime lab
right.
and we set up readers at the crime lab,
right.
when it walks out of LPSO, we know who it is. And when, right. and then we can literally tell you when it walked in over there.
Right.
Boom.
Right, right.
There's chain of custody. And it took 38 minutes
right,
to get there.
Right. Yeah, that's excellent. And then I've been thinking about it for a long time. I don't see where – I could see two problems that departments – would throw up to stop the use of the system. First of all, let me ask you this, is there anybody else that has a patent to do this or I mean
we own the three sole patents.
So
to track
this is it. This is cutting edge mm-hmm. technology that y'all developed right here, Denham Springs.
Fully
Louisiana.
Developed and sole sourced here in Denham Springs.
And you've been doing it and y'all have the knowledge of it because I've been talking about it for a long time, but you've been doing it not just with Louisiana agencies, but you started with local Baker,
mm-hmm.
and then I know you're in with Jason with the Livingston Parish mm-hmm. Sheriff's Office, and can you tell us kind of how you spread? I I don't see where a department or a district attorney, any law enforcement agency or district attorney, cannot afford to have this in place. Mm-hmm. One, you save any embarrassment or loss of cases due to hook or crook, malfeasance, mm-hmm. or human error. Two, the man hours that you save on handling evidence has got to be huge. Just going to look mm-hmm. for one piece. And I don't care if your evidence closet, you don't have an evidence officer and you have to go in and dig for it. Somebody's got to go dig, mm-hmm. you know? And if you can't find it, oh shit, boom, you know, it's on now, yep. right? And so you eliminate all that. Mm-hmm. So, but their pushback is going to be cost and the good old boy network, pretty much. Mm-hmm. We've been doing it like this for 100 years.
Yep.
But the way to flip them over, and I think everybody should use it. I thought it was genius, and I'm not kissing ass. I thought it was genius when I came here that day, and I started thinking about it. And then I talked to a couple of people about it, friends of mine in law enforcement. I was like, holy shit, why isn't this everywhere? Mm-hmm. And why hadn't I even heard about it? You know, but I think people need to know about it because it you have to put the personal touch on it. It's not about, for you it's about business, but for me, it's about every single screw up is somebody's life. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like having a migraine. Everybody knows what it is, but until you go through one and experience it, mm-hmm. you don't really understand, right? And you can't really feel the pain. As far as just saying, oh, we've been doing it like this for a million years, mm-hmm. my throwback to them would be, well, how many screw-ups do you have? And I know you're not going to tell me.
Why not?
The other one is, you could, you know, absolutely ask them how much they pay their deputies an hour or whatever to go dig around for what have you and whatever. But I mean, it's just genius. But
let me answer your first one about how we spread and how we get out there, and then hopefully answer your question of, you know, why don't more people know about it? Mm-hmm. So when we really got moving, we found organizations like NCAPE, North Carolina Association of Property and Evidence, and this entire organization is for the state of North Carolina, obviously, but they invite all the evidence personnel, whether they're commissioned officers or, you know,
employees that handle evidence.
Right. And they get them all together twice a year and say, hey, who's got problems? How'd you solve it? What'd you do? Hey, you know, and they talk.
Sounds like they're on the cutting edge.
It's a networking atmosphere, but the fact that they all want to be on the same page, they don't want to have these, right. you know, stories about them.
Right.
But they really kind of opened our eyes that, you know, there are people out here that genuinely take this seriously.
99% of all law enforcement people are great.
And I hate to say it to anybody that listens to the podcast, but we go to, talk to chiefs and sheriffs. And sometimes the organizations are so big, you say, chief, sheriff, what are you doing with your evidence? And they go, I don't know. It's taken care of.
Right.
You know, okay, great. That is a reasonable answer.
Right.
I mean, you talk about, you know, even, I don't know, Baton Rouge PD, who's nowhere close to a medium-sized city in the United States. How many officers do you think they got?
I don't know. It's not that many. I mean,
1,000?
I wouldn't think they had that many.
700, 800?
Yeah.
You know, I got 700 people to worry about. I know no stories ever came up about evidence, so I assume it's fine.
Right.
Well, that could be the difference. Sorry, and I'm not calling out Baton Rouge by any means, just making an example of size. But, you know, Livingston Parish, how many deputies do they have nowadays?
I don't know, but I can equate it. I think it's 300-something, but I equate it back. When I was in detectives, we had 8. Now, for everything, now they have 30.
Right.
Right? So it's a pretty good-sized department. Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of chiefs are getting more progressive. You know, Jason Ard's a perfect story. You know, we go to the Sheriff's Association here, and everybody wants to know what Jason's doing. He's young, he's progressive, but he also wants to get the best for his people.
Right.
And that really gives a shot. And, you know, told Jason, give me a shot. Let me show you what I can do. And he did. And we've been there for, I guess, 3.5 years now.
That's awesome. That goes back to Willie brought him up, Willie Gray's. Mm-hmm. And Willie, when I got hired on, he said, Yeah, you may not always have, or you're not always going to have the best pay, but I promise you, you will have the best equipment and the best training in the state of Louisiana.
If you want a good team, take care of your team.
Right, right. So you got him with Sheriff Harbor with Jason, and how's that worked out?
Great, great. I guess, like I said, they've been users for maybe 4.5, 5 years now. When we put in there, they had one evidence officer, and then I think they grew to three. They have two now.
Really?
And
that's crazy how much it's grown. You're not just in the state of Louisiana now.
No.
I know you're all over the country, right? And so I guess we could talk about that, and maybe if you know of any instances of how it saved Patrax's work.
So I have what we would consider a medium-sized law enforcement agency, and one particular day, the evidence person calls us up and says, hey, the system's broken. It's not working. We said, okay, what's going on? And they were talking to people on our development team, and they said, well, we brought these pieces of evidence. I think it was 12 or 13 items. We'll say 12 for Baker's dozen that were at the crime lab. And we said, okay. And they said, but the system's saying they're here. So my guys look into the database. They see something. They said, all right, well, I'll tell you what. Give us a day. We'll come out there, and we'll take care of it.
So they said, okay. So they're saying, the system is saying the evidence
is in-house.
Is in-house, but it was at the crime lab.
The evidence people were saying, no, it's at the crime lab. We brought them. They're over there.
Right.
So because it's RFID, we have a handheld device that will literally walk you to whatever you're looking for. So at this time, they might have had 20, maybe 25,000 items tagged, and we can literally singulate on a particular piece and walk within 3 inches of it.
Right.
So we show up, and as my guys like to say, I go and do my job. I grab the people, just kind of small talk. Hey, right, you know, right. The weather's nice weather, and they're
right, hustling.
Yeah, doing the job. Right. And so I guess, you know, Carrie, Jim, and Sean, you know, they're great. Right. And again, have a good team if you want to have a good product.
Right.
So they go in there, and sure enough, they start pinging them. And they said, look, here's one. Well, then they find this manila envelope that is unmarked, just regular manila envelope, sealed, and it's in the destruction bin.
Really?
And they find two or three of these live evidence items that had just came back from the crime lab. And for whatever reason, they put them down on this desk, and we assume they just got moved because it's unmarked.
Mm-hmm.
And they got placed in the destruction bin.
Wow.
Come a month later, these pieces that are live for a case that could eventually go to trial are going to be destroyed,
yeah.
Never to be seen again,
right.
And have no idea why.
Right.
And it was because of a human error. I put it down on this desk. I forgot about it. It apparently got moved.
Yeah.
And the fact that we could take a handheld, find all 12 of them
right.
In a matter of minutes and go, no, they're all here. We, of course, walked out high fives and like, okay, all right, thanks for coming out. Yeah, we're all good, you know?
And guess what? Whatever that agency is paying, they know they just got it back in space, right?
And it was literally because they walked down the hallway and walked in the room and we said, hey, we see them. What
so
do you want to do?
They accidentally, human error, threw the evidence away.
Yeah, and the thing is we, again, checks and balances.
Right, right.
That
right.
Check would have been for them to check it in properly. Hey, right. Matt Moss just walked back in. I have this evidence. I'm going to put it in. Great,
right.
It's all done.
Right.
Well, they just walked in the room. Well, so what we were requesting from them is, hey, you know, what's it for? Does it need to be destroyed? Does it need to go back on the shelf? And so we were giving them these warnings. Hey, right. We see this item. Tell me what you want to do with it. And they were going, no, it's at the crime lab.
Yeah.
Well, no, they were. And
yeah.
Immediately we found it. You know, they thought it was an error. It wasn't. System was
right.
Operating properly.
Right.
Thank you. Yep,
right.
You're right. Let me check them in. Boom, we're done. Ready for trial.
And it, you know what? It might have been a whole lot more than one case.
It was definitely multiple cases.
It could have been multiple
mm-hmm.
cases. So,
mm-hmm.
So there's an example, y'all, of the human error side of things. And it's not-
Save a little more this month. Chime checking accounts have features like fee-free overdraft up to $200 with SpotMe and no monthly fees. Open your account in minutes at chime.com/goals24. Banking services and debit card provided by Bancorp, Bank NA, or Stride Bank NA. Members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Not because anybody was bad. I mean, they don't get any benefit by throwing stuff in the garbage on accident. It's because they're busy and they're human. Mm-hmm. So pad tracks limit that and save however many of these cases were. And that's why I got excited about y'all. And I know you're all over the country. If you want to share another example or something, that's fine. But if not, I guarantee you. Tell me about going across the country, and I'm sure that probably you do shows or whatever, but I'm sure a lot of the departments, because I know cops and I know, and I've been on the supervisor end also, and I know that a lot of them be like, oh, we don't want to buck our system or whatever, but how have you gotten people to be receptive to you?
It boils down to education,
right?
And not, you know, school or anything, but the fact that a lot of people just don't know there's another solution out there. And again, that could be because we're on pen and paper. And
that's why we're doing this today.
And we're such a small agency, we don't have a budget, there's no reason to go look. Or it could be, you know, what I'm doing works for me, and I don't have a problem. Great. Right. If you're doing something great, use it. Use it to the best of its abilities. I mean, we have people that call us with no budget, and they say, you know, how much would your system cost? And we said, what are you doing now?
Because they've heard about you through somebody else.
Right, yeah. And they're doing their homework.
Right, right.
You know, they're trying to get educated. What can be better?
Probably had a mistake and don't want it again, right? Yeah.
Or they're trying not to have a mistake because their neighbor had it.
Right, right, right.
And, you know, they'll call and say, well, how much is your system? And we'll say, what are you doing now? And they say, well, we're on pen and paper. Okay, well, do you have a computer? And they say, well, of course we have a computer. Have you tried putting it in Excel? You know, it's free. You have it. Mm-hmm. Do that. You know, use what you got for free.
Right.
If you want some guidance, we can help you with it.
Right.
If you want to go with us, let me come out. Let me take a look. I mean, we purposely don't publish or get into any of these situations where we have to publish our price. Because one, you know, what Livingston Parish may pay for may not be
what.
Different. Yeah. You know, you get a Boston PD.
Right.
Well, you know, Deuce all in Louisiana
can't
afford that, and you don't expect them to.
Right.
So we purposely don't do that because.
Wait, you and I talk, and like talking about Deuce all, which used to be the home of the last roundup way back in the day. That's a super small department, right? Certainly they can't afford what Boston PD can afford. But also, they're not going to be handling the amount of evidence.
Absolutely not.
That the large agencies. That price is going to be determined by whatever, the size and the use.
What do you really need? How can we help you? You know, just because Dusan needs some help doesn't mean I have to give them what Livingston Parish needs because of the amount of volume.
Right.
And that's our thing. We want to be able to help the community size.
Right.
Great. If we get, you know, we have a customer now that has a 75,000 square foot warehouse with 30 readers tracking a little over 1 million items.
You're talking about a law enforcement agency.
Yes, big sheriff. Department.
Over 1 million items?
Over 1 million items.
Do you think there's not the old archaic system, whatever they were using, the propensity for human error to be there is I guarantee it happened every day almost, probably.
You know, let's say Livingston Parish has 50,000 items in evidence, right? They have two people, okay? Again, that's a lot of, that's 25,000 items a person.
Right.
This place has, I think, 11 evidence people on three different shifts daily. So 33 people to do it. And you got to have it.
But I want the listeners to again, go back to the fact that this is not a choice about maintaining evidence. This is the law. When you take evidence in as a law enforcement representative or district attorney's office, at least on the Louisiana law, you are legally responsible.
How did every cold case get solved?
By going back and
looking at evidence.
Evidence, that's right.
You know?
Fresh eyes on the stuff or new information come back, but you still got to go back to the evidence.
And
evidence is everything.
Yeah, you know, you look at a trial, and again, I could be way off base here, but has anybody ever been convicted of anything without evidence?
No, I mean, even if it's circumstantial or direct evidence, but you got to have evidence.
Right.
So evidence is everything. I mean, so many cases are lost because of
simple human error. Yep.
Right. And, you know, and it can be avoided. That's the thing.
Yes.
Yeah, I promise you, Willie Graves would have had this, and he was a forward thinker like Jason is, mm-hmm. right? He wanted the best in the best systems in place and everything else, especially if it could stop somebody else from getting hurt, one of his officers, or a case, a victim from getting hurt again, or a case from being mm-hmm. lost, right? And why? That's why I got excited about Patrax. Mm-hmm. That's why I want everybody to know about it. Because if I don't know about it,
right.
then, I mean, all these true crime fans, they're fanatics, right?
Right.
All my listeners, lifers, and a lot of them are law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
But I talked to some of them, they didn't know about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're still doing the old pen and paper, shuffling around way, and it's you, back to the two, stop signs for Patrax or whatever it be, is the good old boy thing, or we've done it this way for a thousand years, or price. You can't do it on price, because I can guarantee you, mm-hmm. you take the man hours that you spent in the last 6 months on searching for evidence or transport, whatever it may be, and price is not the issue. The good old boy, we've always done it this way, and once they get the egg on their face, because it's going to happen sooner or later. And the news, especially nowadays, right? Everybody's got social media mm-hmm. and everything else, and everything goes viral.
There's no hiding.
And 20 years ago, we didn't have to worry about that, mm-hmm. right? And I mean, I'm not saying we swept stuff under the rug, but I mean, it's human error. You say, and you have the uh-oh moment. Mm-hmm. You think that bag of evidence I found underneath my truck that I ran up and CYA. Said, oh, it's been riding my truck. No, I didn't do it. Hell, I wasn't in there in evidence.
That's right. I don't want to ask any questions.
That's right. And so, but that can't be the case any longer, y'all. And you need to tell everybody about the system, Patrax. And there's nobody that has patents on it, who's done it, who's put in the time. They 5 years before you went fully mm-hmm. operational, and I know you're still striving every day mm-hmm. to improve, and you're all over the nation, but you're not until, how many law enforcement agencies? 77,000 or something like that?
Little over 78,000 in the United States.
Until 78,000, all 78,000 of them have it. Then I don't think we need to stop this. And I'm going to start doing an evidence episode every series. Now, not every season. And this is going to conclude season six. In season seven, I'm going to ask you lifers, somebody out there, and a bunch of y'all have already sent me stuff. And you can be law enforcement or a victim or whatever. Mm-hmm. Send me your evidence stories, and I want to sit down and get with Matt and say, listen to this shit, and I'll cherry pick one at a time, maybe two for the episode, but I'm going to do it maybe every six or seven shows. I'm going to do an evidence show, and we're going to put the human face on how these screw-ups can be affect real human beings mm-hmm. and how they can be avoided, right? Mm-hmm. So I'll tell you the story, and you tell me how it can be fixed.
And, you know, that's what I'm more interested in, is hearing these stories. And one, because we're going to pride ourselves on having the best evidence system. Right. And without understanding all the problems, can't fix it.
Right.
And, again, we really try our best to not only hear our customers. We had a call this morning. Customer called up, goes, hey, how do I do this? Give me an hour and let me put that fix in there. Right. You know, just something new. Right. But guess who else wants it? Every other customer we got.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It improves across for everybody.
And the one thing we don't have the avenue to do until now is hear from the victims.
Right.
You know, tell me what happened and see how we can help.
I got goosebumps. We may, I bet you we may find a category that you're not even aware of. Mm. Possibly, right?
We want to hear
it. And you being a forethinker, Patrax being the lead, certainly the top expert in the evidence field, and tracking and maintaining the chain of custody and cutting out the errors. So you're always striving, you like Jason R., you're always striving to improve and, you know.
It's really nice to have a good product.
Yeah.
But the great ones keep their customers for 20, 30, 50, right, 100 right, right, years. Right. And that's where we want to be.
I think everybody in the world should use, not even just in the United States. Do you know of anything like this in Europe or anywhere?
Yeah, I actually got a Kerry, one of my developers, sent me a link the other day. It was in Britain, and they had some malfeasance where they went in and did an audit and couldn't find this evidence. And then, lo and behold, you know, when this story comes out, hey, we can't find evidence.
Right.
The evidence officer just says, oh, I'm ready to retire. Well, of course, they investigate and go, yeah, no wonder you were trying to get out of the door.
Exactly.
And so, yeah, it's worldwide, you know. Yeah. And again, 99% of the time, just like in any organization, family, we always got a bad seed somewhere.
Sure,
and
sure,
it's usually for stupid reasons.
Right.
And
But, you know, the best people develop bad addictions. They get, narcotics addictions, and they get in a car wreck. And I'm talking about, I've dealt with little ladies who've been in a car wreck, and their grandmothers, and they take them, they get through the therapy, they have it on the oxys and all this stuff for so long. Well, hell, they get done, their body's addicted to the pain medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go and they start stealing. I'm talking about people embezzling that have been on the job 20-something years.
Mm-hmm.
But the best of people develop addictions for whatever reason and go down the wrong and make the wrong choices. And they think they can get away with it and by replacing. And they may replace it a couple of times, but sooner or later it catches up.
Mm-hmm.
But do you know, because we have listeners, and at one time it was like 167 countries in the world. I haven't counted in a long time. But do you know of it in anywhere else in the world somebody's doing something like pad tracks?
Negative.
All right, there you go. There you go. All you lifers out there in Australia, especially since y'all were developed off the penal colony, that's our second leading country.
Okay.
For listeners. In
absolutely.
Canada, everybody, this is it. You want to take out the human error, which is going to be there no matter what, right? None of us are Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And take out the human error, take out the temptation of doing wrong, whether, you know, the stealing because you're addicted or because you're a dirtbag or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, y'all, there's so many cases I could have done here locally about evidence rooms where there are people who are selling the dope out of evidence room or stealing the cash, et cetera. I mean, I don't want to have to do that. Those cases are there. We want to hear your cases.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do an evidence episode probably every 6 weeks or so. And Matt, would you come back on one again?
Oh, 100%.
Maybe in the future, it'll be where I'll do my, like, the podcast deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
And tell the story, and have you tell me how you pad tracks could have handled it.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, pad tracks, and we tell everybody we talk to, use pad tracks, use somebody else. We don't care. Just educate yourself. You want to learn about evidence, number one, find your problems first.
Mm-hmm.
Then go look for the solution. And it could be pad tracks. I hope it is.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's not, you know, again, use Excel. Go to the conferences that are made for property and evidence people. Find what they're doing, how they solve the problems, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Again, yes, we want to have all the customers we can handle.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm here to provide a solution. And if it's giving you some direction, great.
Well, hey, but you know what? Me as a taxpayer, as a Joe citizen now, I want my dollars spent wisely.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly don't want, me as the old cop, I don't want a bad guy walking free because of error. But I know how much time and money it takes and manpower it takes to manage and dig up, manage and properly handle evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And I think pad tracks is, it's my shit, I can say shit. I think pad tracks is a shit, and I think that everybody needs to know about it. And so, like I do for LOPA, because I believe in an organ donor thing, the old cop in me believes in this and what you're doing, and I think it's phenomenal, and I think the world needs to know about it, and we'll continue, like I said, put an evidence series. Y'all send in your stories, and we'll get it done.
Yeah, you know.
Anything else?
It's just a pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah, man. I got so excited when I came in that first day. I was like, what the hell? And then my OCD's kicking in.
We're starting into a 9-hour day.
Yeah, yeah. And then, but my best part is 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, mm-hmm. I'm laying there, the ideas come to me. And that's why I started thinking, man, we can get everybody's stories. Because you know there's some bad ones, right? Mm-hmm. And the rape cases and people have been turned loose to rape again or murder. Mm-hmm. In just horrible stories. But we'll give face to those stories. And by pushing it out and doing the evidence series, I think, or not series, evidence stories from now on, if we can save one person from having to go be re-traumatized as a victim, or one case from stopping being thrown out because Patrax gets put in, and or you can save me some of my tax money and put another cop on the road, mm-hmm. right? I think that's important.
Yep. So, and again, anybody that calls in, they just want information or maybe an organization that can help them, right. I got that information. I'll send it to you so okay. You can hand it out.
Oh, you know what? Let's do that. We can put it on all social media and everything else, but if you want, how can people contact? We have a huge law enforcement following, and they may take it to their chief, and so a lot of them are chiefs. How can they contact y'all? I mean, of course you can call me or message me.
Absolutely. Everybody should call you between the hours of midnight and 3. Cindy would absolutely love that. Now, easiest way, go to patrax.com, PADTRAX.com, and it's got all of our information. Yeah. And you can obviously just call, ask for me, yeah. or you can call and say, I want information on software. And yeah. if you're an IT person, we got those people that can answer your questions.
Right. And then y'all might have some questions that we haven't covered today when you're listening to this. Mm-hmm. And then I'm sure I'll think of something later on that we didn't cover. But yeah, call it in and ask, all right? Mm-hmm. And these are good people. I've met your father, Mr. Bill, and all that. These are good people. I know the people that work here. One of you guys, IT guys, we used to work in uniform patrol with mm-hmm. way, correct. Way back in the day. And mm-hmm. he's super intelligent.
Yes.
So y'all give him a call or hit me up at woody@realliferealcrime.com, and you know I'll get back with you. So, but I appreciate you.
Thank you.
And patrax.com.
That's it.
All right. And so this is where I'll say all the podcasts or stuff that I always forget to say. And first of all, I want to thank everybody for listening, liking, and sharing. I appreciate you, lifers, best fans in the world. We're growing phenomenally every day. That's because y'all keep liking and sharing us. Follow us on Instagram @RealLifeRealCrime or @OvertonWoody. Facebook, I forget how many pages we have now, y'all, but the crew page, the Real Life Real Crime friends, fans, and crews at I think 31,600 members today. Y'all go there if you like true crime. It's true crime stuff, but you have to be admitted to the group. So submit your admittance or whatever it's called, and our Dream Team moderators will get you approved. Go in there. I'm in there every day. I answer everybody personally. We have the Real Life Real Crime Lanyap page. If you have something that you want to talk about, you want to share a watch party, or you sell something or whatever, that's a private group also. We get you admitted to it. I think it's 4,000 or 5,000 members, and that's stuff that's not true crime related. So y'all use that. I cannot accept any more friends requests. I get them from y'all every day. So we're gonna try to remind y'all to. Just go to the regular Real Life Real Crime Facebook page, and I'll answer anything you have there. We're on Twitter, although I don't know how to use it. And let's see what else. I'm going to forget something. we'll put it in the show notes, right? And Courtney Coco, I do believe because COVID is going down, et cetera, I believe our John Bel Edwards, our governor, is probably going to lift the restrictions on the grand juries, the moratorium he has on grand juries now. I'm hoping it's going to go through. Justice for Courtney. Stay tuned on that one. Miss Barbara Blunt, please continue to call in your tips. COVID is going to ease up, and we're going to be able to hit the ground running on again. And I say we, I mean the sheriff's office, Livingston Parish Sheriff's Office, and Sheriff Ard, and his dedicated team of professionals, most of which I got to work with in my career, they want to work this case. This is the difference between Courtney Coco's case. They actually give a shit. So we want to do it. Every time I do this, y'all, every week I get a new tip. For the couple of y'all that sent the tips in the last 2 weeks, I had the COVID and we were iced in. There's a couple of y'all I haven't responded to yet. I will. Your ideas were very good. Some of them have already been covered, but I will reach out to you, and I'm behind on that. But y'all, please continue to share Ms. Barbara Blunt's case and spread it. I guess that's it. LOPA, Louisiana Organ Procurement Agency, give the gift of life. Cite all the fantastic stuff they do. And if I was in my new, we built a studio, man. I built a studio. I just finished soundproofing it last night. But I have a map without pins of all the different countries around the world. And this is the point where I say it doesn't matter if you're in Louisiana. You go to LOPA.org, and if you're from wherever, and I pick a country. So you pick a country today. Give me a country today.
Oh, Iceland.
Yeah, my son was looking at Iceland last night on the map when we were soundproofing room. So you're one or two listeners in Iceland, and you want to sign up to be an organ donor, you can do that. Go to LOPA.org and sign up to be an organ donor and be a hero. And I'm Woody Overton, your host of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. And until next time or ever, don't let me catch you down on murder. Bye. Peace.
Get ready, you're gonna do time. Real life, real crime.
Real Life, Real Crime is a true crime podcast brought to you by Woody Overton and executive producer Toby Templey.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.